Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. We've got a wonderful time ahead of us with the show today because we have got two ladies, a mom and daughter, that are going to be sharing their insights, their wisdoms, if you will, on how to make more good stuff happen. I couldn't think of a better topic on a Friday, and it is just a great way for you to be able to go into the weekend and feeling good about who you are and your life and realizing that life is an opportunity to enjoy, not just to exist in. I want to welcome to the show Deborah Ivanoff and her lovely daughter, Abigail Ivanoff-Achenbach. Welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I know, Abigail, you were a little bit, because you've never done a radio show before, you were a little bit apprehensive, and I said, don't worry about it, just be yourself. First, I have to compliment both of you on doing such a nice job with your book on how to make more good stuff happen. It's a play workbook, and I thought, this is really interesting. And, Deborah, I want my listeners to know that you also have your own radio show, and we'll mention that again later. But that's how I got to meet you, because I was a guest on your show. And you happened to say that you and your daughter had done this book, and I said, well, send it along. And you just said, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know what they're going to want to interview me or not. But when I went through this delightful workbook, I thought, this is fun. And to be able to get a mother and daughter together on the show that have worked on a project that has been just as delightful as this one ended up being, I thought was a real coup. So I really am looking forward to this. Now, Deb, you are a certified Master Being Coach. You also do workshops. And Abigail, you're an active tween, you said, an avid reader, a person that's right after my own interest there, an animal advocate, you're a vegetarian, and you like being, well, friends. You really like developing good relationships with people. So the two of you make a powerful, powerful pair. Now, Abigail, how did your mom approach you about this book? What made you decide that you wanted to be involved in this, or whose idea was it?
It all started one morning, actually, when I woke up to find my mom sitting in the living room at our table, covered in sticky notes everywhere, all sorts of ideas, her hair slopped up in a bun, still in her pajamas, breakfast nowhere near made, and I said, what's going on? You know, I mean, she had this big grin on her face, she looked like it was Christmas morning, and she said, I've been up since 5 a.m. with all of these ideas, and I want to do all of these things, and she's just telling me about it, and I'm getting excited because I was about 9. I was pretty young, and I was going, wow, this sounds like fun. You know, this sounds really cool. And she said, I want you to do this with me. I want you to help me do this. And I said, no, I could never write a book. I'm 9. And she said, well, you know, just talk to me, and I'll write it, and we'll do it together, and you don't have to actually write. You can, you know, just inspire me and help me. And I said, oh, okay, that works for me, so that's kind of how it just ended up sort of snowballing into a book.
Wow. Now, Deb, do you often get up and leave on your bunny slippers and work at, you know, this 4 o'clock in the morning with sticky notes all over the place?
No. No. I
love that description.
That doesn't happen very often. Not that I'm not up in my pajamas early in the morning, because I am. One of the nice things of working at home, but you know, this book woke me up, Donna. It woke me up. It woke me up out of a very tired sleep, and it started writing itself in my head, and so I did. I kind of got up, and I wrote a few notes, and I tried to go back to sleep, and I couldn't. I was wide awake, and the book was outlining itself. It was just, and Abigail's absolutely right. I was there with sticky notes and index cards and pieces of paper all laid out on this table. It wouldn't leave me alone. It just demanded that it get written.
I absolutely love it. Now, you have in this play workbook, as you call it, you go into a number of things. And let's just start off with something really simple. And I know my audience has heard this before, but you had something on being and becoming. Now, here you are in a situation, sitting at your table, your 9-year-old daughter is there looking at mother saying, breakfast isn't ready. Things are a little abnormal here. And you're just going a mile a minute, and then she makes an agreement with you, and all of this takes literally seconds. And the first thing in your book is titled On Being and Becoming. When you put that into the book, your daughter gave you the input. Abigail, when your mom asked you about this, I mean, you talked about cleaning the room and doing this thing. Did you just talk to her and she, like she said, she just took the notes down?
Yeah, basically she would just kind of ask me questions, or I think, again, this is a long time ago. I haven't actually looked at the book in quite a few years. But I just remember, you know, sitting at a chair next to her computer and she'd just talk to me and I'd tell her stories and I'd talk about, you know, personal experiences and she'd just write it all down. So, yeah, basically.
Now, there Deb, you talked about the attraction magnet. And we all should have an awareness that if we got stinking thinking, we're going to have stinking circumstances around us. But we forget, don't we?
Well, we do. And, you know, Donna, here's the thing about the book, which I find, obviously, I'm sort of fascinated by the whole the book wanted to be written, so it picked me and woke me up kind of thing. But I was going through my coach's training, and I was learning so much about how to coach myself. And, of course, I wanted to convey that to my family. And I was just beginning to learn more and practice more about the law of attraction. That was a completely new theory to me, maybe 2 years before this book, 2 to 3 years before this book was brand new. And I was learning so much about it myself that, of course, I'd want to convey it to my family. But here's the thing. My coach's training taught me that it's about taking care of me. And so I started really looking at who my family was, and I started watching how children – you know how they say you should never leave kids their own devices? But I don't agree with that. I mean, kids know this stuff already. Here I was as an adult in my 40s trying to learn it, but my children were being it. I watched them manifesting things. I watched them when I encouraged them. I watched them create for themselves to actually do this being and becoming, this magnetizing process. And that's why it was so fun was I didn't, and that probably is why the book chose me, was because I really have this idea that children do already know how to do this, and they know how to make it fun, and we can learn from them. That's why this is a play workbook for teens, tweens, and their adults. Because even though it's written very simply, we really, as adults, this is something we need to relearn. We've forgotten, you know, how to sort of tap into that delight of creating and manifesting and getting things for ourselves. Whereas I saw Abigail, I saw it was easy for her if I just didn't get in her way.
Abigail, there was a wonderful story about a pony in here. And just about every kid in the world would say, yes, wouldn't a pony be nice? Now, some might rather have a video game. I don't know. Everybody's individual. But this was quite a demonstration to your mom, and this was one of the stories you told her. Do you remember your pony story?
Oh, yeah, I still remember my pony story. Well, let me just say, I'm definitely not one of the kids who wanted video games. I think everything in my life revolved around animals. So, yeah, I remember my best friend, still my best friend to this day, Bryn. And we just fell in love with miniature horses, actually. They weren't ponies. They were actual horses, but very, very small. And I can't remember where we originally saw them, but then we got books from the library. We looked them up online. We started printing out pictures. All we did was talk about them and read about them. And, you know, I think we actually got a documentary and watched about, and we just wanted these horses so badly, and we started budgeting and going, okay, how could we afford one? How could we do this? We get, you know, I think Bryn got $2 for an allowance and I got 75 cents or something at the time. I mean, we were very young and we were going, you know, okay, how long would it take to save up to get one of these? And, well, if we took the field next door and changed it a bit, could we keep one there? And we were living out in the country at the time, and the people across the street from us had a horse farm and quite a few horses, but no minis. And right at the height of our horse craziness, we were over there, and Diane, our neighbor, was telling us about how she was getting in three little mini horses, and they were really cute, and, you know, they were from several different places, very sweet, and Bryn and I both just about had heart attacks. We were so excited. And she said, oh, yeah, no, you can come over anytime you want. Feed them, play with them, clean them out, you know. Yeah, you're welcome to come by anytime. So without any of the money, any of the worry, any of the responsibility, we got three miniature horses to play with whenever we wanted, and that just about made my day.
I can imagine. And, Deb, you were deeply relieved because you didn't have to have a ranch, a horse farm. This was not a necessary investment of a lifetime for you. But the manifestation, I really loved that demonstration, because someone might say, well, you didn't get the horses, but the key was you didn't necessarily have to own them. You just had such a passion for them and a love for them. And it's as if the universe said, here, you're going to have this opportunity, and it was right across the street. I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah, we got the essence of what we wanted. What we really wanted deep down, beyond everything, was we wanted small companions. We wanted friends. We wanted, you know, these horses represented love for us. Mm-hmm. And we got them the exact same way, being able to spend time with them on a daily basis. And we didn't have to feel like we owned them, you know, and we could still enjoy being with them.
Yes, and so, I think that's so very, very important. Deb, let's...
You know, I'd like to add something to that story, Donna, and
sure.
That is,
uh-huh.
At the time, Abigail's friend, Bryn, her mother, Gail, and I are friends as well, still to this day, and it was, I have to say, it pulled on our hearts. These girls had such enthusiasm, and remember, they were quite a bit younger at the time. They're teens now. They were quite a bit younger, and they were relentless. They wanted it so bad, so they talked about it every day. They asked us questions about how we could work this out every day, and the temptation for me as an adult who could not, I did not have the money, the state, I could not give this to my daughter. I could not promise mm-hmm. this to her. But that side of me that didn't want to deny her, okay, and that mm-hmm. so there was that sort of natural defensive protective, you know, that we all kind of feel when we were small. We were all kind of told you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to tell her she couldn't. I wanted her to feel like there was still a possibility, and at the same time, I was really talking to myself, to my own head, that kept saying, "I can't see it. I don't know how it's going to happen." But I had this deep desire to not pass that on to her. I didn't want to pass any of my scarcity mentality that I had at the time on to Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a lot of courage and agreement from both of us mothers to say, we don't know how it could work out, but we both believe that it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a difference. And I want to encourage parents to, you know, find, if it's in their heart, to find a way not to shut their children down. Because look at this. These girls made this happen, even though I didn't know how it would happen. They didn't know how it would happen. It's not about the how.
Yes, and that, you've touched on a very significant point. It's allowing things to flow. And I think, and I know I get stuck in this many times, because we're taught we're supposed to manage everything, that if you follow rules 1 through 5, then you're going to get X, Y, Z result. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've been disappointed, and yet when I'll just release and say, well, I don't know how it's going to happen, I'm really not going to worry about it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm on my way. I'm going to shift my attention. Then things seem to fall into place, and sometimes it's so unbelievable the way that these circumstances will come together. And this is another thing that you address in your book, and that is tuning in and turning up the volume of what you want. Now, you need to mm-hmm. explain that, Deb, because in listening to that, there is that part of Abigail's story that was quite significant,
yes.
And that is that the girls were living, breathing, talking, smelling, hearing, feeling the horses, and there was the
yes.
expectation. So how can someone tune in and turn up and turn on to what it is they really want? Because all of us are different in our needs and the desires that we have.
I love that you're asking that question, Donna, because you're right. It's different for everybody. And in the case of this story with the girls, we encouraged them to gather their pictures, to spend time with other horses, to continue talking about it, to get excited about it. And as you mentioned, we've been taught often if we don't think we can get something, then, don't go towards it. We might be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is that actually if we can enjoy that it's almost Christmas morning feeling, we can enjoy the excitement. And as Abigail said, Abigail, she isn't this beautiful? She knows this now. But it's not the thing. It's the feeling underneath.
That's
these
true.
Girls wanted something that represented love and fun and closeness and, being close with other species. And it was just their size. There were a lot of other things that it represented.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it, to find some way that you can stay in the energy of what you want. So what's something that a lot of people really want, Donna? I'm trying to come up with what's something that a lot of people say, that they might want, like a new outfit or a car.
Or maybe a special person in their life. Or
that's a big one we hear, right? A special person.
That's a very big one. But also financial success. Let's address something right now that is in the mind. I just had someone asking me for a response to questions about the economic times and things like this. And I was working through that this morning, and I thought, gee, there's so many ways to approach this. I hate to put people in a box or just say this is the only way to do something. I don't like to do that. But let's address the financial aspect, because there are so many people that are hurting at this time because they've lost
their
job.
I love that you're addressing this, Donna, because interestingly enough, at the time I wrote this book, I was not in a very good financial place. I was going through a divorce. Times were hard for me at the time. I didn't have a very good prosperity consciousness. I was really looking to shift my consciousness. And so I'm glad that you're addressing this. And here's what I found is that even money, I'm sure people hear that money in itself is just a piece of paper. It has no value. And that is true, right? It's only the value we give to it.
Right.
But even above that, money represents something for us. So the question would be, what does money represent for the person? Let's say I want money. What does money represent to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time, it probably represented safety, security for my family, peace of mind. Well, really, who's in control of my peace of mind, really? And so I started looking at ways to turn up the volume on my peace of mind. Not on the money, but on my peace of mind. Turn up the volume on ways that I felt safe and secure. Ways that I turned up the volume on being excited about what was coming next. And I kind of have a fun story for that time. It's not a story that's in the book either. You want another story that's not from Vegan the book?
Sure.
But we had a Christmas that was, the kids now say was their favorite Christmas. They were very young. And I was really struggling at the time. I didn't know how I was going. I was, I was not getting my support, and, I was having a tough time. And so we started playing what I called the wishing game in the car when we were going back and forth from running errands. And I had this rock in the car, and I would pass it around, and I'd say, wish for anything. And it can be practical or it can be just fantastical. You can wish for a unicorn. You can wish we could fly to the South Pacific. And we would have so much fun playing this game, this wishing game in the car, that the kids would feel better. I'd feel better because they were feeling better. I'd feel better because we would all laugh and I would feel better. And it would turn up the volume on what it was that I wanted, which was abundance and closeness and being focused on what we do have and being and having fun playing that game of I wish. And I came out to my car in my driveway one day, just maybe a week before Christmas, and there was an envelope with $1,000 in cash in the bottom of my car. I am not kidding you. And, you know, I still to this day do not know exactly who that was. No one owned up to it. There was no note. You know, it was the universe saying, you know, you're loved. I got your back. There's more than enough. And we had a blast that Christmas. We just had a blast that Christmas. And we had enough that we were able to share with others, too, give back.
Terrific.
So that's a story that's not really in the book, probably because it just didn't piece that way. But do you see what I'm saying is that instead of being afraid and holding in tight and turning down the volume on what I wanted, I actually amplified it, actually opened up and found something that kind of got the energy louder and flowing and I incorporated the whole family with it. And do you see how my children's energy to just go there with no reservation, they were just so willing. I feel certain that that opened the door for that gift for us.
You talk about beasties, and of course, we all have our little beasties. Abigail, what was your experience with beasties?
Well, remind me really fast, because I know that in our family, we have a lot of words for a lot of different things, and we usually use... So if you're talking about a beastie, are you talking more about the ego? Because I know my mom had a lot of different terms for those, so I can't actually remember what the pet term beastie means.
That's it, Abigail. I just termed it
the beastie
in the book.
Your
beauty
and your beastie. Yes.
Your angel and your beastie. Your inspiration and your ego. Yes, Abigail, that's
it. Yeah. Well, let me think back. I know I had a lot of kind of self-bashing when I was younger, kind of, you know, you're not good enough, you can't do it, this, that, or the kind of trying to build myself up, but I was all kind of standing on air and would end up kind of toppling down, and, you know, and those are things that I'm still tackling to this day. It's not something that goes away immediately. It's just something I kind of, I've been working on over the years, and again, I'm so lucky to have a coach for a mother. I think I'm the luckiest person I know when it comes to the parent area of my life because I don't have a mom who tries to fix things for me or who tries to get, you know, in the middle of my things. She's always there. She coaches me through my life, and I think that's the best thing I've ever had because she teaches me how to coach myself as well. So any beasties get taken care of pretty quickly.
I think talking about the beasties is really good. Now, Deb, you gave her an exercise to deal with the beasties, and you used the angel as an image. Share that with my audience.
Yes. Well, you know, I struggled finding words for this in the book, and the reason I did is because there's another wonderful book out there. You probably have heard of this book called Taming Your Gremlin. Again, and it's a wonderful little book. I highly recommend it for people because it really is about that voice, that devil on your shoulder, the ego, the monkey mind, they call it in Eastern philosophy. I have the business people I coach who call it the drunk monkey.
Oh, no, I like that one. The drunk, the intoxicated monkey, the loop monkey, yes.
It's not just a busy monkey, it's a drunk,
drunk
monkey.
Yes, that's a good description. Yep.
Yes, that's what they call it. So I liked for, you know, it seemed like, you know, younger children could really understand the beauty and the beastie or the angel and the devil or, you know, some sort of a metaphor, an analogy like that. So that's why I came up with that is that. And the other thing I liked is that children who are younger have all seen Beauty and the Beast, and they know that the beast, it's not a bad guy. And this is another thing at a very subtle level just between you and I, Donna, I wanted to get across that the ego is not the enemy. The ego just wears an ugly disguise. And if we can be the way Beauty was with the beast or the way an angel is with something, someone or something that's afraid, still be loving with it, then we can transform that into a strength. Or that's my idea anyway. So
that's
why I came up with this little Yeah, so that's why I came up with an exercise that kind of loosens that up a little bit. You start using big words like the ego, and, you know, you're going to lose any tween audience for sure, or teen or tween audience. And most adults you're going to lose, too, because even if we're people who are self-aware and have been doing some study, there's still a lot of that ego-bashing language out there. And I think it's not about bashing. I think it's really about befriending and transforming a little bit. So that's why I like playing with this a little bit and actually engaging with the beastie. So you're not trying to lock him away. You're actually trying to engage a little bit and lighten the situation up a little bit and engage the strength of the beast. Because the ego, once it's engaged and once it's on board, whew, you want to talk about manifesting. When the ego makes up its mind, you're good to go.
That's true. Deb, this has been just wonderful. And Abigail, you're a delight. I'm so glad you chose to come on the show. Deb, I want my audience to know about your radio show. And we're going to be doing a show together this next Wednesday on October the 6th.
We are.
Yes, so let's chat about that for a moment.
Okay. I do have a radio show myself called Day by Day Radio. It's a blog talk radio show. And, Donna, you were so gracious. Last month, early in the month, you came as a guest to talk about intuition, which is right in alignment with what we're talking here. Because if you've got some real beastie going on and you can get to that intuition, wow, you know, now you're expanding the volume. You're upping the volume on what you do want instead of resisting against, fighting against what you don't. So I know you said you were going to come back again because on my blog we're discussing intuition this month and people have a lot of questions about intuition and how to use it in very practical ways. And I kind of hope that that's what I'm inferring a little bit because I noticed that kids, the age that Abigail was at when we did the book, 9, 10, 11, 12, and even the teens now, they really do have an amazing connection to their intuition, to their gifts. If, again, if we can just give them a little space. And us adults, we do too if we can just give ourselves a little space. So I'm looking forward to that show with you because I think that that's going to be a confidence booster for a lot of people who may be either a little nervous about using their intuition or a little uncertain about how to use their intuition.
Now, how do they get to your blog, Deb?
They can get to my blog at www.partneringwiththesacred. So partnering, P-A-R-T-N-E-R-ing, partnering with the sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, partneringwiththesacred.com. And all the information is there. And if they go to Blog Talk Radio and either look for me, Deborah Ivanoff, or look for Day by Day Radio, they'll get to the Day by Day Radio site, and they can sign up for reminders, or they can listen to any of the archives. The radio show that you and I did together is there. It's archived. If they're interested in seeing that from another angle, that's there as well.
Wonderful. Well, I wanted to be sure that we got that information out. And you're on every week, and you're on Wednesdays, and we'll be doing this on October the 6th at 7 o'clock in the evening. So,
yes.
That's something we're going to be doing. Deb, you and Abigail, as partners, did a wonderful job on this book. And
thank
for those
you.
Of you listening, this would be a wonderful book for you to play with. And maybe you'd have a partner. Maybe you'd have a friend. So you can go to www.partneringwiththesacred. That's Deb's website. It's Deb Ivanoff and her daughter, Abigail. How to make more good stuff happen.
We have a little site for the book, too, just so you know. People can type in howtomakemoregoodstuffhappen.com, and it'll take you to a page that talks to you a little bit more about that, and it takes you to my website. So howtomakemoregoodstuffhappen.com is there as well. If they need more information about the book.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And Deb and Abigail, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight, and I wish you continued success.
Welcome.
And Deb, we'll be talking on Wednesday, October the 6th.
I can't wait.
It's going to be great. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget, check out www.partneringwiththesacred, and you'll find all kinds of information there. Deb's got a regular show. Tune into that, too. This is Donna. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, so you're more than welcome to give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Here's the toll-free telephone number that you can call, and that's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if this is the first time you've heard the show and you wonder what goes on when you call me, well, I'm a psychic. I'll give you a reading on the air. All I need from you is your first name or initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me, after I finish giving you information, any question that you desire to ask. It's that simple. And it's a lot of fun, and I consider myself an information resource. And so you have access to me while we're on the air. It's totally free, and it is my pleasure to be able to share my skills and talents with you. Now, I do want to give some information. I am going to be in Alaska, for those of you who are listening from that wonderful place in the far north, either Fairbanks or Anchorage. I am going to be in Fairbanks and Anchorage between the 12th and the 18th of this month, and then I'm going to be in New York City. Now, each of these trips, I will be seeing people privately. If you are interested in meeting with me personally while I'm in Fairbanks, Anchorage, or New York City, or you want to set up an appointment by phone, all you have to do is call my office, 800-872-8852. And I'll put you on the sheet or the bookings that I have there. I don't often get into New York, but this was an opportunity that opened up for me, so I'm taking advantage of it, and I am looking forward to it. I love the Big Apple. I just think New York has a vibrancy that's just marvelous. I'm going to be there at the National Publicity Summit, and I will be interviewing 100 authors. And this is something I've done in the past, and these are people that bring their materials to me, and I get to meet them one-on-one, and it's a wonderful experience, so I'm really looking forward to it. Also, I want to let those of you listening in the Western Washington area, I want you to know there's a wonderful event occurring on the 7th of October. It's a Thursday evening. It's an evening of mediumship. Now, this is a group of people that have gotten together, and they're going to be giving demonstrations to those that attend. It's being held at the Blue Mouse Theater at 2611 North Proctor Street in Tacoma, and you can find more information online by going to the spiritualartsalliance.com. One of the mediums is Michael, and he is a transphysical phenomena medium. Now, this is something that years ago was more common, but in this generation, it is not so common. It's fascinating to watch Michael. It is a challenge. There's also other clairvoyants, mediums, and channelers that will be there as well. You can call for information. The telephone number to call in Tacoma is 253-503-3773. That's 253-503-3773, and they'll give you all the information that you need. So I am hoping to be able to attend this event. I always like to see people demonstrate their talents. I really believe that the more that we can understand the intuitive abilities that we have, the better off we are. Oh, and I want to thank those of you that are sending me your stories. I am just thrilled. Now, my deadline for anyone to send me stories about their paranormal experiences, whatever they are, if it's telepathic, if it's out of body, if it is dealing with some very unique circumstances, ghosts or members of family that had particular skills and abilities, I would love to hear your story. And the reason is that I'm collecting 100 stories, and I'm going to be putting them in a book so that other people will have a chance to understand that this isn't really abnormal. It's a lot more common than what we have recognized it to be. So if you have a special story, be sure when you send it via email that you put in story for Donna's book or the equivalent, so that I'll be able to recognize that, and I'll put it in my file. Again, I'm aiming for 100 stories, and you may have an opportunity to be included in the book. So send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com, Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And I just am so thrilled with the stories that people are sending me. It's just really exciting, and I feel so good that they're open and willing to share. And I'd like yours, too. So do get in touch with me again. The deadline is January 1 of 2011. Please don't wait till the last minute when the holidays come up. Nobody has time to get anything done. So while you're thinking of it, jot off a story to me, and then I'll put it in the file. Now, by the way, I have to tell you, I can't say that I'm a chocoholic, but oh, I love chocolate. Oh, it's such good stuff. I have got a recipe here for mandarin chocolate chip brownies. Now, you may say mandarin, it's orange, okay? It's orange and chocolate. Ooh, such a yummy combination. Well, if you want a brownie recipe that is going to make everybody just talk with their mouth full and say, oh, can I have this recipe after they're stuffing their face with your brownies, which this recipe will do. If you like orange and chocolate as flavors, you're going to want to have this. So it's real, real easy. This is a recipe by Lisa Tanner. Oh, this woman, I have to tell you something about her. She is just a doll. But more than that, she has a dedication to the development of brownies. Yes. This woman included everybody in her neighborhood, in her local fire department, and other individuals. They were her taste testers. I don't think she had a problem soliciting volunteers to try out her recipes. And they gave her feedback, and she ended up developing this recipe and so many others, and they are just awesome. So I'm going to be sharing it with you, so I have a pad of paper handy and a pen so that you can copy it down. It's real, real easy. Now, I wanted to share some information about feeling better at work. I was talking with someone not too long ago, and as you know, I talk all the time. I mean, this is just the way my life is. If I'm standing in line at the grocery store, there's something that goes on in conversation. I can be in a gasoline station. It doesn't make any difference. People enjoy conversation. They like talking. Well, one person was telling me how frustrated they were at work. They were in a job that just, oh, but they said, I can't leave this job. People are having a hard time. I'm working actually two jobs, and I'm grateful to have a job, but, oh, I just don't like it. It just drives me nuts. Have you ever felt like that? Everybody has days like that. And sometimes we're in the wrong job, but we want to give the best of whatever we can, wherever we are. And as soon as we're in a position to do so, if we're in a place where we really don't belong, we need to move on. While you're in work, you need to remember that you can make your environment a better environment. Stop blaming or playing the role of victim, I should say, and say, wait a minute, I'm here. What can I learn? How can I grow from the environment that I'm in? One of the things that researchers have found that when you are able to have an environment where you go in, you say, hi, good morning, how are you, that when you develop relationships with coworkers, you're really going to be a lot happier with yourself. And you might say, well, gee whiz, I have these stone faces that work around me, and they're really duds. What in the world? Well, think about yourself. I remember a story about Loretta Young, who was a gorgeous actress, and she was quite young when she started in the industry. And she had complained to a Monsignor that she just didn't like going to these Hollywood parties because everybody was so dull and so uninteresting. And a Monsignor turned around and looked at her, and he said, well, maybe it's because, Loretta, you're dull and uninteresting. And she was just stunned. She said, what? He said, look, everybody has a story to tell, but if you're all about you, everybody's going to be boring. Why don't you just shut up and listen and ask them about themselves? And listen to what they tell you. She was stunned. She ended up going to a party, didn't get home until 4 or 5 a.m. the next morning. And the Monsignor happened to be visiting her mother and said, well, how was the party? She said, oh, you were absolutely right. I didn't talk about myself at all, and I listened to other people, and I was amazed at what I learned. Stop and think about that when you're working. Most of the people that you work with, you may not know anything about at all. Try to find out something. Just be a good listener. Don't try to make yourself the focus of attention. And if someone looks nice, if there is a good feel, compliment people. If someone is real orderly, say, boy, you know, I really admire you. Look at the positive aspects of someone. And don't be afraid to smile. Your face isn't going to crack. It's okay. And if you need to be reminded to have a happy face, put something up on a wall. Have something in your working environment that every time you look at it says, this is who I really am. And I am happy. Everybody else can be miserable if they want to be, but I am grateful and I am happy. And you know what? Don't forget to figure out how you can take some time for yourself. I remember working in a job once. I didn't like it very much at all, but I'd go out for walks on my lunch hour. Of course, I lived in California, not in the Pacific Northwest, where it rains so frequently. Regardless, I'd go out for walks, and I'd come back, and I'd feel just rejuvenated because it was my gift to me. Now, maybe that's not the solution for you. Let's figure out one. Remember, you're the one that makes you happy and unhappy. Hey, we're taking a break. We come back. Mandarin, yes, 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 chocolate chip brownies. Are you ready? We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Have that pad of paper and pen handy. We're going to give the recipe to you. Yum.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, here's the recipe for Mandarin chocolate chip brownies. Now, this is a wonderful combination of orange, dark chocolate, and almonds. Yum. Okay, and you want to use real stuff here. If you're going to do this, don't try to say to yourself, well, I'm going to cut all the fat out of it. No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. You need to use the ingredients just as she does it, and maybe just have a little tiny piece if you don't want to have a big piece. You have a little one. But here you go. A quarter of a cup of butter, 2 ounces of unsweetened chocolate. 2 ounces of unsweetened chocolate. You need 2 eggs. Now, all the ingredients should be at room temperature. That's something I need to throw in there. 1 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of frozen orange juice concentrate. And, of course, that needs to be at room temperature. It has to be thawed. And 1 rounded teaspoon of grated orange rind. Fresh is better. If you don't have fresh, you can use the dried. And I just mix it right in with the orange juice so that it has a chance to hydrate if you use the dried. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla. 1/2 cup of flour. 1/2 cup chopped toasted almonds. And 1/4 cup of chopped chocolate chips. Now, this is not a huge recipe. You're only going to need an 8-inch square pan. You can double this recipe if you so desire, but do the small portion first. Your oven, you need to preheat to 350 degrees, and the first thing you want to do is melt together your butter and chocolate. Now, you can do that in the microwave in just a few seconds. In a medium-sized bowl, you want to beat your eggs until they're nice and light. And then you want to beat in sugar, the orange concentrate, your orange rind, your salt, and your vanilla. Your chocolate mixture will have cooled, and you want to blend your sugar, your orange concentrate, the rind, the salt, and the vanilla. You want to blend that into your chocolate mixture, and then you want to blend in your 1/2 cup of flour, and then gently fold in your nuts and chocolate chips. And, of course, then you're going to pour it into the pan. Now, you can bake these for about 30 minutes, but you want to be sure that you do the toothpick test, where you stick a toothpick in and make sure that it comes out clean, because depending on the heat in your oven, it may or may not bake exactly in 30 minutes. So do your toothpick test. And then, of course, you're going to let it cool in the pan before you cut it. Now, something that's very special about these brownies, if you make them like a day before, they're going to mellow in flavor wonderfully. They, if they last that long, they are great if you want to freeze them, but just make sure before you freeze them that you have them cooled thoroughly. Otherwise, you're going to have ice crystals that will form inside the brownies. But these are absolutely delicious, and it's fun to do a taste test with people, and it's great, especially on a cool fall day. And if you wanted, you could have, you know, maybe some vanilla ice cream to put on top of it, whatever you like. But this is absolutely delicious. And what I like is that using an 8-inch square pan, it's just absolutely marvelous, because you don't have a huge amount. So make sure you have friends over, because if you're like me, you just can't eat one brownie. You just can't. It's just, they're just too good. Anyway, that is your Mandarin chocolate chip brownie recipe. Easy and delicious. Absolutely delicious. When I was talking with Deborah, and her daughter, Abigail. Just, you know, it's wonderful when you can have a family together on a project. And kids have a way, like Deborah said, of really picking up on things. And depending on how our environment was when we were growing up, we may or may not give our kids that opportunity. We may try to control everything in their lives. Well, there's a little boy by the name of Zach, and he has a very special friend called Brandy. But there's a story about Zach. Zach was really wanting to get another dog. And they already had Brandy, and he just loved Brandy dearly. But when his mom took him down to the local shelter, and he's checking out all the different dogs, his mother was sort of sad because her son, instead of being happy and excited about looking for a dog, the longer they were in the shelter, the unhappier he was getting. And so finally, she asked her son, "What's the matter, hon?" And he said, "Mom, there are so many dogs." Now, Zach belonged to a Cub Scout pack, and he had been at the shelter many months before and had seen dogs and cats there. But he said, "Mom, when we were here before, there weren't so many animals in here." And he said, "Now we've, wow." This was really overwhelming to Zach. So he went up to a shelter worker, and he asked a question, "Why do you have so many animals?" And the person at the shelter said, "Well, these are real tough times economically, and a lot of people are giving up their pets because they just cannot afford to take care of them anymore." Well, Zach's imagination took off, and he said, "Wow, these pets must really, really feel badly." Well, Zach didn't want to stay at the shelter. He wanted to go home. And his mom said, "All right, son, we'll go." And she was amazed at the depth of concern that Zach had. And when he got home and he saw his wonderful dog, Brandy, he just hugged her tightly and he said, "Oh, my goodness, I could never let you go. Somehow or another, I'd managed to take care of you." So he turned around to his mom after he had been thinking about his experience quite a bit, and he said, "Mom, we need to feed the dogs. All the dogs, so they can stay with their family." And she said, "You know, son, I'd really like to do that, but I don't know how we can." So she put a challenge to her son. She said, "What do you think can be done so we can do something?" Well, Zach came up with the idea of holding a pet food drive. And this was something that within a week, Erica didn't think much was going to happen with it. He collected over 1,000 pounds of food. Now, I want to finish this story. I know we're just about out of time, so I will finish this for you on Monday. But what one boy did, you know, all of us can do something exceptional. Zach did. And I'll finish the rest of the story on Monday. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a magnificent life. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll be talking with you same time, same place, right here on Monday on bbsradio.com, Station 1, The Donna Sebo Show. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.